Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Dirty After Dark. I'm your host, J. Floyd, J. Flizzle. And for the next hour or so, we're going to get rough, rugged, and raw that only the 924 Network can do it. Boy, it still feels so good to be back on the air doing some Dirty After Dark, fam. Yes, it does. It feels so good to be back on the air doing what I love to do, and that's that Dirty After Dark, only on the 924 Network. Family, how are you doing? First of all, I gotta give shout out to myself, for my goddamn self, for being back on the air. Now, family, all my family, my friends, and especially my freaks out there. What's been good? What's been going on? What's popping? Oh, I missed you. I so missed you. It's been a minute. I know it's been a minute, but I tell you, it's worth the wait. I was a little bit under the weather last week. I had a really bad flu, so I really wanted to get on the mic and let y'all know how much I truly do miss y'all. But Lord willing, I was able to get through that pretty bad flu, and I'm ready to get on the radio and get rough, fucking, and raw. So without further ado, hey, we're going to try to get in as much and as many questions and answers and topics as we can. And on today's agenda, we're going to definitely talk about 5 keys to finding your soulmate. We're going to answer some listeners' questions. I'm going to bring up on the second segment, I'm going to bring up 2 recent examples that women have told me of how they dealt with bad men, bad guys. And those examples were crazy, very crazy. And hopefully you ladies will take heed and don't go down the road that these young women went through. And then I'll continue to talk about how to find the right guy, a good guy, some of the things you can do to find a good man. And on the third segment, we're going to definitely talk about this thing I've been hearing called a 30-day sex challenge, the pros and cons, the pro-sex and non-sex. We're going to definitely talk about that, as well as we're going to get into a little bit of the difference between lust and love. So, hope everybody's week went well. Like I said, I was kind of under the weather this past week, but I'm back to 100%, ready to get it in, and only on the 924 Network. Callers, please hit me up at 347-857-3969. Once again, 347-857-3969. Or you can go interactively on our online chat. Just go on to Blog Talk Radio, 924 Network, go into our interactive online chat, and you can ask questions there. So a listener sent me a link from a pastor by the name of Tory Roberts, based out of L.A., and Pastor Roberts was talking about 5 keys to finding your soulmate. And first of all, let's talk about what are soulmates. And they can be defined as 2 people who have been connected spiritually, emotionally, and physically. That's your soulmate, okay? The pastor kind of summarized that your soulmate is a person that God has chosen for you to complete each other's purpose. A soulmate complements one's goals, dreams, and most important, their purpose. A soulmate is someone who can understand you like no other, love you like no other, and will be there for you forever, no matter what. So, based upon what the pastor said, what are the qualities, or what are the things you do what are some of the keys to finding a soulmate? And then the first key is you have to have chemistry. And this chemistry is a special bond. And some kind of this chemistry is somewhat, it's unexplainable. it's this chemistry, not from a physical sense, but from a spiritual sense. And with that chemistry comes that connection that draws you and this person together. And it's, once again, it's not a physical connection, though on the outside it may appear to be. Man, you saw her at the grocery store, and she was in the cottage cheese aisle, and she was looking so, so delightful. So you saw her, and she was attractive, and you sparked up a conversation. Yes, there was a chemistry, and you saw a connection, but that could be physical lust and not necessarily a soulmate. So the soulmate has to have that chemistry, and you have to have that connection that draws you together. And that's that spirit, that's that unexplainable connection that builds you two together. With those two comes the third, which is wholeness. Wholeness will qualify the chemistry and the connection that you have with your soulmate. It's the glue. You got chemistry on one side, you got connection on the other side, and what bonds the two is the wholeness of yourself, as you're confident in who you are, as well as the person that she is, and her confidence in who she are, and what's the makeup of her and the makeup of you to achieve this wonderful union. A defined confirmation. And whether you are spiritual, religious, before every great endeavor, you must always seek the aid of deity. Before every great, whether you're buying a car or building a relationship, you must always go to a higher power and a higher source for guidance. So if there's a divine confirmation that you and this person are bonded, connected, through chemistry, through a connection, through that wholeness, and has almost the blessing of the higher power, then you can move forward. And last but definitely not least, there is the sense of purpose, okay? And this sense of purpose is extremely important. You don't want to wake up and realize that your purpose and you are in a wrong relationship. You want someone who knows who they are and is in full pursuit of their purpose, their dreams, and is living each day as a whole. So you want someone who not only compliments you and makes you better, but also makes them better as well. That's when you know you have found that soulmate. That's when you know you found a purpose, person with a higher purpose. That sense of purpose is not only to build the relationship, but as they're building themselves and building and helping you to achieve your goals, it's building that bond together and making a stronger union. So to recap, you have to have chemistry. You have to have a connection that draws you two together. You have to have that wholeness, that self-purpose in life. You have to have that divine confirmation from a higher power, almost divinely blessing this union. And you have to have a sense of purpose, a sense of goal. So with those five keys, I'm sure you can definitely find your soulmate. Now, I'm sure it's harder than it is, but if you're on the right path and you have your wholeness and you have your sense of purpose, that person is there. You got to be optimistic. So I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. I had a lot of listeners send me questions, and I have some really good questions that I want to try to answer before the first break. A listener just sent me a question and asked, have the rules changed when it comes to dating? Do people even date anymore? Why does it seem like people get into situations instead of relationships? And has the fear of getting hurt or being played stopped people from committing to one another? So first of all, I want to say thank you because all of those are interesting questions, and I'm going to try to answer them all in order if I can. Have the rules changed when it comes to dating? I would say personally, yes, and I am a victim of it. Dating has gotten sloppy. Dating has gotten so conventional. And with the advent of online dating, it has made it so convenient. We live in a microwave relationship, a microwave society. We want things done in 2 minutes or less. We don't want to work for it. And I fall victim to that. I have fallen victim to the depths of online dating. And I said the rules have changed. The days of trying to get to know someone via the phone and understanding who they are and having long, in-depth conversations and meeting them have changed. The advent of smartphones have made Skyping and texting and virtual messaging, you know, it's taken away from the genuine art of the date. Do people date anymore? They do, but we don't have the tolerance, especially older, mature people. We don't have the patience or the tolerance. You know, there's always an end goal. Whether man or woman, the end goal could be the relationship. Can be just a physical need. It could just be company. It could just be attraction. But there's an end goal. People don't want to work for it. People don't want to put that energy into it to work for it. So, yes, there's definitely a reason why people don't want to date anymore. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm not saying we should stop. Just because the advent of technology has made things easier for us. Doesn't mean we have to, no less, work harder. True love is out there. So the call says, why does it seem like people get into situations instead of relationships? Because situations can easily be explained. Relationships can't. Relationships, like I said, take time and effort and take a willingness to trust. And people just don't want to trust anymore. People don't want to commit. People don't want to put forth that maximum effort, but they want the maximum reward. I want the prize, but I don't want to work for the prize. I want to have a good man, but I don't want to do the things to be a good woman. I want a dime piece, but I want a dime piece, but I don't want to be a man that she'll be attracted to. You know, if the men want the physical and the women want the emotional, but they're not doing the things to make that happen. Yes, the fear of getting played, the fear of getting hurt, the fear of getting rejected plays a role into it, plays an absolute role into it. Men and women are scared to commit. They're scared to sink their teeth into a relationship. You know, be honest with you, everybody has baggage. Yes, ladies, I have baggage too. I have baggage just like everybody else. Everybody has baggage. It's whether you're willing to put up with that baggage, whether you're willing to tolerate that, you know. And that's what truly defines. What are you willing to put up with? What are you willing to deal with? We're all grown and sexy. You know, nobody wants to deal with whatever. I love when I see people say, I don't want no drama. I'm all about no drama. What you're basically trying to say is you don't want no new drama. You want somebody to deal with your drama, and you're willing to deal with a certain part of their drama, but you don't want no new drama because everybody has drama. Everybody's got situations. Nobody is living that perfect, whether you're married or single. Nobody has that perfect drama-free. Everybody has dysfunctionality, whether in their lives or in their families. Everybody. It's whether you're willing to tolerate that, endure it. Are you willing to be a problem? Or are you willing to be the solution in someone's dysfunctional lifestyle? So I don't know if I answered your question, but I definitely tell you the rules of change. But that doesn't mean that we need to change as well. We can just adapt. We could still be old school. You know, you could still have long, intimate, insatiable conversations late at night. If you found somebody who stimulates you and it can intrigue you and can talk about different subjects and there's still, you know, there's still people out there that want to have romantic walks and don't want to be doing things like that. Don't want to be doing all the technological things. There are people out there, but it depends on what you want, and it depends on what you're willing to give up. You can't have convenience, but then you're complaining that you can't find what you're looking for because there's no chivalry out there. But then you want convenience and you want chivalry at the same time. You're going to have to give on either one. So just keep that in mind when you're looking for your soulmate, more or less. Well, you know, I've already talked myself into my very first break. So I'm going to play a little music, and then when I come back from the break, we're going to dwell into over the past week I was able to talk to two women who told me some very, very sad and possibly dangerous stories about finding bad men and how they came across them. So I'll be telling you those stories as well as talking about some other things. Only on Dirty After Dark, it's your boy Jay Floyd, and I'll be back.
Hey, I wrote this song for you. Everybody's looking for the flyest thing to say.
Another episode, another segment of Dirty After Dark, and my boy Jay Floyd. And who wants to jump into my spaceship coupe? You know, I only got room for two. So, before the break, I talked about some some unfortunate stories, examples of good women, hot women, attractive women, smart women, intelligent women, falling for bad guys. Okay? And if you listen to any of my shows, every couple of shows I do an online dating public service announcement. And here's one of them. Okay? The story that was told to me by the woman said she was talking to a man online. And they had been talking relatively for a brief period of time. And they had gotten to the point where they wanted to meet. And personally, I think kind of oversteps the boundaries a little bit, because in my experience, and I'm not trying to say that my experiences, I don't think I've really been catfished that bad. But in my experiences, I guess the progression is you go from online to offline where you talk, communicate on the phone, and then from there establish a meeting place and meet in public. Well, I guess this woman at the time had felt comfortable with this guy. So they had worked out an arrangement to meet in a public area. But beforehand, he had claimed that he had basically claimed to her that he had been catfished before, and he's very skeptical and very cynical about encountering women online, and insisted that she send a picture. So she already had some profile pictures on her profile. Already had some pictures there, and he was adamant to say. He also had pictures on his profile as well, but he was adamant that he wanted more pictures. So I guess they worked out something and exchanged numbers, and she sent him more pictures of her. He wasn't satisfied. He was like, he had made a deal that if you send me a picture of your driver's license, that's right, I said it, that he would return the favor. So she weighed that option, and she thought that it was a good idea, and she reluctantly sent a picture of her driver's license. Now, ladies, as a brother, talking to my beautiful ladies out there, when is it ever okay for you to send your driver's license to a man you've never met, to prove to him that you are who you say you are? So she sent this to him, and of course he reluctantly did not send his driver's license. And as she started to panic, which she had every right to, come to find out he wasn't the fit, tall, young man that he said he was. He was actually 10 years older and a lot heavier and a lot shorter than what he had on his profile picture and the pictures online. So in his attempt, in his haste to get pictures from her, talking about he was catfished, he was actually catfishing her in the process. But the scary part about this is now she's frightened, because she allowed this man to have a picture of her driver's license with all of her information, address, and particularly her address. So she immediately got offline, which really doesn't help, because if you get offline, he still has your telephone number and he has your address. All I can say is I wish that woman the best. But moving forward, ladies, if a man is trying so hard to make sure that you're not catfishing him, then he's more likely trying to catfish you. If there's any doubt in that, then y'all just take some time and meet at a coffee shop. Take some time and meet at a public environment. Hell, a sports bar, a library. I don't know. a chapel. You know, if it's that serious to him, if he really wants to see you, and vice versa, lady, if you really want to see him, and you've spoken to him on the phone and you've heard his voice, and if you're comfortable enough to see him in public, then make that effort. But don't ever give this man your private information, your driver's license. Oh, no. Come on, ladies, we can do better than that. And we're not talking, and this is a beautiful, attractive, successful, educated, articulate woman falling for the okey-doke. So that's just one example. The second one is even worse. I'm sorry. If this scares you, then it should. It should scare some common sense into y'all asses. Okay? Spoke to another woman. And this woman had a very sad tale. Over the past year and a half, she recently lost her mother due to illness. She had went through a severe bout of depression, and she didn't really know how to get out of that funk. Because of she was going through this bout of oppression, her friends and family said that she might need a change of scenery. So with her and her two children, she moved from a left the occupation that she was quite successful in to move here to Atlanta to try to start all over, start a new life with her two children, and to get over the grief of the loss of her mother. In the process of doing so, she encountered a man, not online, but she encountered a man through her travels who lived in the Atlanta area. So after hearing her devastation, her devastating loss, and hearing her depression, he said, you know, he definitely wants to comfort her once he got to Atlanta. So as soon as she got established in Atlanta, as a friend, he began to get to know her, and of course it went from a friend to more than a friend situation. She confided in him. She needed him for emotional support, for spiritual support. She needed him, and he was there for her for that time being. But she saw that he eventually started to change and got depressed himself. And when she first encountered him and first got to go out with him, she saw that he appeared to be well-to-do, lived in downtown Atlanta in a nice condo, had an older model Porsche, and was, you know, working two jobs. So she found that to be, you know, acceptable. And but in time, he started to become depressed himself because his older model Porsche was breaking down on him. And he would tell her his drama, tell her what's going on, tell her, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get to work and blah, 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 and all of this and that. And in her depressed state, she empathized with him. You know, she was already at a very shallow, very fragile state herself, and then to hear this man here talk about his woes and his problems only compounded hers and just made things worse. So he kept asking her, is there any way that she could help him get his car back up and running? First, he had asked her, could she help him co-sign for a newer model Porsche? She reluctant. She said no. She said hell no. So he went back and was pressive and was, you know, just was very volatile, just was very not meant to say physically abusive, but mentally abusive to her because he felt that they were together and you know, he helped her out during her transition and helped her out during her grieving process, that he needed to be somewhat compensated in some form. So then he had asked her, can you help me fix my car? And we're not, like I said, we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about a Porsche now. I'm sure the repairs on a Porsche are quite lengthy and expensive. So she relented and gave in and allowed this man to get his Porsche fixed, and she thought that everything was okay. But then she told me that it was football season, and you know, he's a big-time football fan, and on Sundays she gives him his space to watch his football. So, but after the football game, she had called him, and he wasn't answering the phone, and she got kind of worried, so she decided to go by his house, and as she went by there, first he said he was going to work because he worked two jobs, but then when she found out that he wasn't working that night, so she was concerned, so she went by there, and unfortunately she heard the sounds of intimacy between her man and another woman. So not only did this woman lose financial losses, but then she lost the confidence on, and she lost the trust because this man was cheating on her in the process. And ladies, I say this to say that, damn, he was a smooth criminal. He was a smooth criminal. And she had the nerve to ask me, should I put him up on charges? I said, hell yeah, you need to take his ass to court. Now, is the court going to decide that what the money that she gave to him while they were in a relationship was a gift? Or was he truly trying to swindle her? You know, ladies, I just want y'all to know that there are some bad men out there who are trying to get into your pants, your panties, and your pockets. And they will say and do anything they need to do to get into those things. And we're not talking about, I mean, you're very intelligent, smart, attractive, articulate women. But I know emotions get the best of you. Love or the thought of love. But it's more lust and love gets the best of you. And everybody makes bad decisions. And I just hope and pray that you ladies can learn from this and realize that you have to be more precautious when dealing with these individuals. If you feel that something ain't right, if there's a potential mental red flag in your head, then it's probably something wrong with him. Do you need to step back? If he's pushing you to do something, to have sex, to spend money, to do things that you're not comfortable doing, then that's a red flag. That's your instincts telling you to pull back. Don't move forward. Warning. Do not cross. Do not pass go. Do not collect your $200. Do not go. All right, ladies? So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Okay, I told you all the bad things. So let me tell you some good things. These are six steps that you can do to find a good man, okay? And here's the hint. You can start by just reaching out. Just reach out. Ladies, realize one thing, that men like to be chased a little too. Men like to be known that they are appreciated, known that they know their self-worth. Men, I know it may sound weird, but men like to be courted as well. Men like to know that they're worth. So it's fun to be a little flirty and a little playful and to reach out a little bit. It's good, ladies. It's good. It's healthy. It lets a man know that you're interested in him. Lets a man know that, damn, okay, she's feeling me, I'm feeling her. Let's see where it goes. There's nothing wrong with going after something that you want. Ladies, you are the queens of going after your business goals and emotional goals and educational goals. So why shouldn't relationship goals be any different? We're not asking you to go 100%. We're just asking you to put forth, put it this way. I hear this all the time. A lot of women want a man to put forth the effort first. But why can't you put forth mutual effort? A man doesn't want to put forth effort knowing that it's not going to be fruitful. So, ladies, it's okay. to go after what you want. You always go after your dreams and desires and everything else. This shouldn't be any different. Another thing, and I'm going to say it, ladies, keep yourself healthy and in shape. And I'm not saying that because men are visual creatures and we're vain and shallow, because some of us are. But just from a health standpoint, eating right is an important factor in healthiness. But ladies, being in shape, taking care of your mind and body, going to the gym, maintaining healthy weight, eating right, are massive contributors. Ladies, men are visual creatures. If they see that you're taking care of your body, then we also will assume that you're taking care of your mind and your spirit as well. If a woman is working out and staying in shape physically, then there's a pretty good assumption she's taking care of her mind, taking care of her spiritual needs as well. So, you know, I know it may be kind of vain and not shallow, but I think from a health standpoint, you need to take care of yourself. But it applies both ways. Okay, fellas, go to the gym. Take care of your body. Okay? You can't want a dime piece when you're looking like a five. Okay? Unless you're Biggie Smalls or freaking a Flavor Flav, which I still don't understand why women after him, but that's a different story. Ladies, here's another thing. Dress attractively, not fashionably. Men don't care about the latest fashion. I could care less. First of all, I don't know the difference between a Prada, a Donna Karen, MK, or I don't know the difference between a Fendi, a Prada bag, a Gucci bag, or I probably could spot a Gucci or a Louis Vuitton bag, but I don't care. We love attractiveness. We could care less about fashion. You can look good in the jeans and a sweatshirt. My ex-wife, when we first went on our date, met with me in a sweatshirt and a holy sweatshirt and some sweatpants. I didn't feel that was attractive, but I looked over that and got to know her personality. I should have made that as a red flag, but you know, that's hindsight. But ladies, you always want a man to look good, smell good, have a nice grooming tips, have good teeth, good nails, then we would expect anything less from you. Here's another thing that's very important. Refrain from being negative. You talk about you don't want to hear drama, but then you always got that person that wants to tell you, oh, woe's me. And, you know, try to be fun and positive, especially when you're trying to impress people, when you're trying to get to know a person. No one wants to know your backstory, not yet. We're not saying we shouldn't keep it real. You know what a woman told me one time? I met this woman on the very first date. She told me she's a habitual weed smoker and she doesn't have any front teeth. Or, I'm sorry, her front teeth weren't real. On the very first date, which I didn't know how to take that. I finished my drink, we finished the meal, and I kept it moving because I'm like, that's just too much. That's TMI, too much information on the very first date. I don't even know if I like you, but you're going to tell me you're a habitual weed smoker and your front teeth are not real. Stay positive. There ain't no reason to be throwing out some craziness like that. Two more things before the break. I know I'm kind of going over, but it's definitely worth it. Have your own life. There's nothing that attracts a man more than a woman who's got her shit going on, who's doing her. Okay? You know, and have your own life. Just don't be sitting at home. What do? I'm sitting at home and watching TV all day, or I'm sitting home doing whatever. Have your own life. Do your own things. And it's not just business. I know, see, some people can get so wrapped up into their business and they don't even take care of their personal needs. Having your own life doesn't mean having you be so wrapped up in business. Have your own life means doing things that you like to do, that you don't need others to do. And the last but not least, I know this is physical, but learn how to be a master at sex. Learn how to turn not only yourself on, but learn how to turn a man on. Figuring out you know, you have to be confident in yourself and confident in your abilities. And intimacy is important. So, you know, any hang-ups that you may have, you might want to work those out if you're really trying to find a man, a good man. So I'm about to take another quick commercial break. When I come back from the break, we're going to wrap it up. During a third segment, I'm going to talk about this 30-day sex challenge. OMG. This is going to be fun. Hey, I'll be back. Only from 30 After Dark. It's your boy, Jay Floyd. Back for the last show, for the last segment of Dirty After Dark. This is a rough, rugged, raw call. Hit me up at 347-857-3969. Once again, 347-857-3969. I love my call-in number. So, before the break, I was talking about the 30-day sex challenge. And there's two versions. Obviously, there's the not have sex for 30 days. And then there's the have sex for 30 straight days. So let me start off by talking about the having sex for 30 straight days. It's the challenge is, and it brought up to, I seen in a report, a magazine talked to a married couple, talked to a couple that were living together, and talked to a gay couple, and asked them to engage in the challenge, 30 straight days of having sex. And see if they can do it. And we're not talking about, we're talking like every day have sex at least once. And we can't cheat. You can't not have sex on Wednesday and then make it up twice on Thursday, okay? And that's work, that's family, that's school, that's everything, all right? So here's some of the challenges that a married couple talked about trying to have sex for 30 straight days. First, the challenge was a woman has their menstrual cycle. So ladies are having menstrual cycles, and things could be messy or difficult to engage into intimacy. But the married couple said, on those days, we had shower sex. And here's how they found out ways to have sex. Here's some of the things. Day one was normal sex. Day two was try a new position. Day three was a quickie. Day four was kitchen sex. Day five was keep your clothes on. Day six, laundry room. Seven, normal sex. Eight, outdoor sex. Nine, position, new with new position. Let's jump. 10 was quickie. 11 was shower. 13 was dress-up sex. 14 was massage first sex. Massage first, then sex. 15 was quiet sex. Nice. 16 was getting kind of BDSM, tie me up sex. Tie him up. Then 17 was tie her up. So, I might as well just finish it. 18 was try a new position. 19 was normal sex. 20 was naughty outfit sex. 21 and 22 were blindfold sex. He blinds her, he blindfolds her, she blindfolds him. 23 was quickie sex. 24 was shower sex again. 25 was focus on foreplay sex. 26 was fantasy sex, choose your character. 27 was normal. 28 was new position. 29 was sex anywhere but in the bedroom. And finally, you end off 30 days with choose your favorite position sex. So it was, they're saying it was done. It was difficult. And I'm reasoning why, because they said after, like I said, you had a woman's menstrual cycle. they have children. Their kids got sick. They had some intestinal problems. Day 17, the woman had some intestinal bouts herself. Fatigue kicked in early, like day 11. You got to go to work. You got to take care of the kids. You're exhausted. So there were some challenges in doing that. When it came to day 27, it was like you're pushing the limits. You were pushing the limits of just trying to get this thing done. And it was more of a task than being enjoyable. And day 27 was regular normal sex. After you've done all of this other stuff, you're exhausted and you still found time to have sex. At what point is your regular sex turning into just quickie sex? So, but talking to the married couple, the results said, did it strengthen the relationship? She said, the woman said, suppose it did. Even on nights that we were both tired or maybe in the middle of a fight, we still had sex. So it became a challenge. Did it make them want to continue to have sex? On day 31, they decided not to have sex. And probably for the next couple of days, they took some time off. They asked, what did it teach them? It taught them a little bit about being a confidence booster and being a little bit, exploring and experimental on some things. It taught you that you're not as young as you think you are, you're not this sexual nympho, this sexual juggernaut that you think you are. 30 days of straight sex. Oh, man. If I was to go through that, I'm telling you, it would be difficult. We'd really have to explore our fantasies. If I was in a relationship and her and I were really involved, and we've got to understand, we're not 30 days of sex on a desert island. We're 30 days of sex in a natural environment with children and kids and family and work and all the other things to go with it, and you're still trying to find time to be imaginative. So it would be difficult. It would be difficult. I don't know if I can, I mean, I don't know. Just maybe just fatigue. Have somebody get sick. Have somebody, you know, how do you work that? Kids get sick. You get sick. You're exhausted. He's exhausted. They're just, I mean, how about arousal? After 15, 20 straight days, is there even arousal? Something to think about. So here's the flip side. Ladies and gentlemen, can you go 30 straight days without having sex? Well, before I get to that, here's another article talking about nine reasons why you and your partner won't be having sex for 30 straight days. Number one, you're just too goddamn tired, which is understandable. Sex is a lot of work. It's a lot of work put into it. Number two, you get angry and mad and resentful, just like a laundry list. If you got to have a laundry list of, okay, today I got to do missionary, tomorrow I have to try a new position, next day is shower, the next day, you're gonna get tedious, you're going to get tired, it's going to get boring. Number three, blocking intimacy helps you feel safe, protected, and in control, you know, by just have to have sex. It's almost going like a job. It's almost like a profession. It's almost like you have to do it. Number four, you might feel like everything in your life has to be colonized, like by marriage and parenthood and working. Keeping something like this is kind of your own little private getaway. You know, everything, I understand, everything else is regimented. Everything else is, you know, work is one thing, and family is another thing, and marriage and parenthood. Sex is the only thing that can be wild and carefree, and you're gonna marginalize that and put that into a box. It loses its appeal. Pleasuring yourself and your partner is not the priority. You might feel guilty and ashamed. Yeah, I understand that. There may be a resentment to how you want to touch your partner and please your partner, consciously and subconsciously. Sex will become boring, predictable, lackluster. It's not even worth it. You know, there's only so many outfits she can dress up in, you know. It keeps it fresh. You are demanding about sex with your partner. Those demands may not be met, you know, especially if, like I said, if you're tired and exhausted. I don't know. It'd be difficult. Now, with that being said, 30 straight days of sex can be difficult, but I think it's very reasonable. Very reasonable, 3 to 4 times a week. And it, like I say, it's not just, you know, a little oral here, you know, foreplay here, you know, quickies and things like that. 3 to 4 times a week is suitable. I think that's reasonable. If anybody I say that thinks differently, please let me know. Hit me up at 347-857-3969. Okay? If you think it's unreasonable, you know, 3 to 4 times a week. Here's the opposite. 30 days, no sex. Now, the conditions are you live with each other. You live with each other. You go to the bed. You go to bed in the same bed. You can't go. He can't go in the other room, ladies, and you can't sleep on the couch. No. You got to be in the bed together. Wake up, go to bed, just no sex. Can you go 30 days without that? Now, that's the flip side. After a few days of looking at your woman, I'm sure she's looking like a piece of raw meat to a hungry lion. You know, ladies, looking at your man, you ain't had none. He just came out the shower, just came from the gym. That one little kiss may set it off. So could you go 30 days without having sex? I thought about it, and I said if I was in a relationship, you know, and my woman and I, we lived together and things of that nature, we'd have to, first of all, take out all our sexual frustration at the gym. But we wouldn't even go to the same gym. If we do, we'll go to different times. I'll go to the gym at 7, come back, she'll go to the gym at 9. I make sure to work my ass off so I get home, I'm exhausted. And I'd have to ask her the same thing. I'd ask that hopefully over 30 days, I don't want to, Jesus, God, we can't take showers together. I don't want to see your ass half naked in some bra and panties. It would be difficult. It would be difficult, especially if you have a very vibrant and hot and spicy sexual relationship and then it goes 30 days. Now, the actor Terry Crews, he said he and his wife went through a 90-day sexual challenge where they didn't have sex for 90 days. And he said it brought them together, made them stronger. But I understand they've been married for almost 20 years and they have 4 children together. So maybe, you know, maybe that their relationship needed that. I don't know. I don't know, fam. You tell me. Did you go 30 days straight with having sex? And could you go 30 days straight without having sex? Hit me up. Hit me up on Blog Talk. Hit me up on Facebook, 924 Network. Hit me up on Twitter. You know, let me know. Let me know what you think. See if y'all out there want to do that challenge. But anyway, I'm joking. But I don't know. That's deep. That's deep. I don't know if I could go through that. The 90 days without and the 90 days with. That's just a lie. But I guess if you and your partner are comfortable with your current sexual regimen, and y'all could spice it up and, you know, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. So whether you're having sex 5 times a week or having sex once every other week, as long as it's quality sex, then that's all that counts. So with that being said, my time is almost up, ladies and gentlemen. I've enjoyed this immensely. And I want to say that I thank everyone for listening. And please, please tell a friend about Dirty After Dark. Make sure that you don't listen to my previous Dirty After Dark shows, but also my new shows, the Bunny and the Broad show that comes on every Sunday at 8 o'clock with my lovely co-host Bunny. We talk about a lot of dating and relationships, as well as I'm also on the Miss Reason show, so check out Miss Reason on Blog Talk Radio. We do an unapologetic politics, and we talk about politics and what's going on in society, so make sure you chop in that as well. So with that being said, hey, I just want to say thank y'all for listening in and tuning in to another Dirty After Dark. So y'all take care. Be sexy. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.